Well, today is Father's Day, it is Trinity Sunday, and it is Peace and Justice Sunday. So, and we also recognize teachers and graduates. So I tried to make it all fit in this talk, but it just isn't going to happen. So the first thing I'm going to say is Happy Father's Day. All right. It's funny because in my home church, I had an opportunity to do a sermon with my mom. And so in preparation to do a sermon with my mom, she did part and I did part. We got together and she said, okay, I'm going to go out into my bookshelf and get out a couple books. And I'm like, why are you going to get books to prepare a sermon? And she said, well, you know, there's poems and there's prayers and there's stories. And I said, but that's what we have the internet for. So it was the first part of our talk in our home church about how generations are different. And I'm saying this today because I found a story on the internet about St. Augustine. And I thought, this is pretty cool. St. Augustine of thousands of years ago on the internet. So I'm going to tell you a story about St. Augustine. There was St. Augustine was walking on the beach contemplating the mystery of the Trinity. Then he saw a boy in front of him who had dug a hole in the sand and was going out to the sea to get water and put it in the hole. And then he'd go back out to the ocean and he'd get some water and he'd put it back in his hole that he had dug in the sand. St. Augustine said, what are you doing? And the boy said, I'm going to pour the entire ocean into this hole. St. Augustine said, that is impossible. And the whole ocean cannot fit into that little hole that you dug in the sand. And the boy replied, and you cannot fit the Trinity into your tiny little brain. And the story concludes by saying the boy vanished because St. Augustine was talking with an angel. And I thought to myself, this is so perfect because the Trinity is hard to explain. I mean, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1? How does that work? And so I thought that, okay, if St. Augustine was wrestling with this, I feel a lot better about myself. I feel so much better. So I wrote down what the United Methodist Church says about the Trinity. There is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body or parts, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. And in unity of this Godhead, there are three persons, one of substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I put /Spirit. I bring this up because I really wanted to talk about all three parts of the Trinity. And so first I'm going to talk about God. I'm grateful for whoever put this up here. Thank you. All right. So I love the book of Genesis. I am looking forward to taking a whole class on Genesis in the spring. In Genesis, we hear how all that God has made is good. And this sermon could go in so many directions. We could talk about the environment. We could talk about the feminist language of Genesis or non-feminist language in Genesis. We could talk about so many things about Genesis. But because today is Peace and Justice Sunday, we are going to talk about how God made things good and if we are taking care of those things. I'm wondering, are we really respecting what God has made? Today we are going to talk about human beings because included in that, what God made in Genesis, we're human beings, and God has told us to take care of all the earth, including human beings. Are we doing what we've been told? Genesis says to take humankind, to take care of humankind and all of God's creatures. God wants us to live in community together. What are we doing to take care of people here on earth as we live in this community on earth? Sometimes when I think about how am I going to take care of God's earth, including all of the human beings, and I just get overwhelmed. This is too much for me to do. I want to do it all. I just can't. And of course, one person can't do it all. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever gotten so like, oh, I want to help this person and I want to do this and why am I not composting? And, you know, I know I should throw that in the recycle bin, but it's so much easier to throw it in the trash. I mean, we could do so much and then we get overwhelmed and just, I'm talking about myself, I guess, and just stop. But one person can't do it all. But as a community, we can. As a community, we can make a difference. God doesn't want us to act alone. God wants us to live in community and as a community, help others in our community. So how do you do this? Well, you know, where do you start? And I say you start with a really great attitude and then a heart tug. We all have something that we either complain about a lot or that we are excited about. And those two things tell you where you can have passion and make a difference. And I say complain about because many times what we complain about, we really want to fix. We really want to change. We're just so frustrated, all we do is complain about it. So I'm inviting each of you here and anyone outside this building that can hear my voice, or hear God's voice, I should say, to listen to that passion. And if you have an idea of how you or a group of people in this faith community can serve God's people, let us know. Let me know. Let the outreach team know. Let anyone in this congregation know. Because together, we can do something. We can make changes. We are here to take care of all of God's creatures, including human beings, our neighbors. So in 2 Corinthians, Paul says we should all get along. Once again, we are to live in community. I find it funny that Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians around the year 50 and to his community of Christ believers and saying, just get along, everyone. Come on, get along. And almost 2,000 years later, this scripture is so applicable. We can't go through Trinity Sunday or talk about peace and justice without talking about the very best example of peace and justice, Jesus. Jesus came from a humble place. I mean, from birth to death, humble. He lived among people, everyday people, just like you and I. He didn't live in the temple. He lived with people like you and I. He didn't come to look for glory. Jesus didn't come to be an elite of his day. He came to live among regular people like you and I. Jesus very often spoke about the poor. Jesus not only spoke about the poor, lived with the poor, but Jesus also taught others to care about the poor, to serve the poor. In Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40, he is talking about who is serving God and who is not serving God. And in that, Jesus names, when you fed me, when I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, when I was naked and you clothed me, when I was in prison you visited me, when I was sick you cared for me. All these things is a way of peace and justice. Jesus spoke of justice in almost everything he said. Jesus challenged the economy of the time. Because in those days, there were the elites, there were the very poor, and they were the, and then there were the slaves of the elites. And that's just the way it was. The elites had all the recognition. If you see any carvings, they, I'd say 99.5% of the time were of a person of the elites. And Jesus said, we need to pay attention to other people besides the elites. And in Matthew verses, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, Jesus talks about the greatest commandments. He's asked, which of these is the greatest commandments? And Jesus says, to love God with all your heart and to love all people as your neighbor, as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Once again, tipping all things. He challenged the economy also with tipping over the tables in the temple. Temples were a place where the economy was great. People came to temples to buy things in addition to worship whatever god they were going to worship. There were always shops around the temple. And Jesus disrupted this. Jesus said, this is not a place to worship God. We aren't going to do this here. And finally, Jesus challenged the scribes and the Pharisees. And in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 36, Jesus denounces the scribes and Pharisees. And I'm wondering, have we been doing what we've been told? Are we challenging the economic structure that are set up to continue the cycle of poverty? Are we challenging the scribes and Pharisees? Or are we the scribes and Pharisees? Do we follow Jesus in feeding, in welcoming, in clothing, in taking care of the sick, in visiting our neighbors, in visiting our prisons? Are we doing what we've been told? Last week in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we heard these words. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and could communicate like they had never done before. Do you think that's possible today? If we let the Holy Spirit fill us, would we be able to speak with people differently? Would the community as a whole be valued rather than the individual? How would this change the way we look at things if we were to look at the community as a whole and not as an individual? How would this upset things if we listened to the Holy Spirit and we were listening in a new way, we were speaking to people in a different way, and we were challenging the systems? So let's see where the Holy Spirit is moving us. So today, right now, I'd like to introduce the theme of the summer, which goes along perfectly with Trinity Sunday. Where do you see God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, and or the Holy Spirit in your life and in the life of the church? This summer, we'll be sharing stories of where we have seen God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit lately. And I'm going to be asking you to share a story. I'd love to hear where you have seen God lately. Our theme this summer is God sightings. We're going to talk about God sightings. And I have my iPad with me at all times, and I'm happy to record your story about where you have seen God lately. And then we're going to show them in church. As we do this, we are going to be talking about, of course, when we see have God sightings, we're also going to be hearing of God's gifts in our community. And so today, our yellow ribbon represents a God sighting that I have seen here at University United Methodist Church just in 1 week that I've been here. And I'm kind of lumping it all together, but just bear with me. I have seen God lately and a gift in this church through outreach. I went to the Sunday morning breakfast last week, and I spoke with so many people. And I have to tell you, when people come in, they're kind of, you know, not really. Some people are excited, but most people are just going through the routine. But by the time they are fed and sit in community, they are a different group of people. You hear more talk, you hear more chatter, you hear more laughter. Their posture is different. It's a beautiful thing. I saw God in that. I also saw God on Friday at the community and pantry. I didn't spend as much time this Friday hanging out with folks as I had wanted to because I was kind of running all over the place, but I saw one woman come out with a cart full of clothes and food for her family. I saw God in that. She was so grateful. I heard her say, "Thank you so much. God bless you." I heard her say at least 4 times. And I only saw her from up the stairs and out the door. I don't know what even happened down in the fellowship hall. So this yellow ribbon today represents the gifts in University United Methodist Church. Now, we are kind of lucky in that there are going to be many people this summer talking about gifts of University United Methodist Church beyond just myself. So that's where I've seen God lately in the life of the church. And I wanted to share a little video that I put together for a class, but I thought it worked today because it shows where I've seen God lately in my own life. And it'll give you a chance of where I've seen God lately, but also give you a chance to learn a little bit about me. August 19th, 2005. There is my life before that date and my life after that date. On August 19th, 2005, my husband died. On Thursday, he was going to take our daughter to karate class. And by Friday at midnight, at 32, I was making life and death situation decisions. In the end, he died. Through this whole experience, I felt God with me. Through the crying, and through the decision making, and through my friends that were by my side. Then, I had to go home, and I had to tell our 8-year-old daughter that her dad had died. How do you do that? How do the words come out of your mouth? Well, we got through that. I told her. We cried. And then I had to figure out what was next. How are we going to live? How are we going to make through this? Where is God at? In the end, I decided I needed to let go and let God. Sometimes we don't have all the details of our lives. When we trust in God and let go of thinking we have to have all the answers, we are taking on more than we need to. There is a relief in letting go because God has got our back and will love us through all our choices and all our circumstances. All the life situations that come to us, God has got our back. God is with us. When we trust in God, we are letting the Creator create something beautiful in our lives. What would it look like for you to let go and let God work in and through you? Let go and let God. What will shift in our lives if we let go and let God? How will this Holy Spirit shift this church and outreach in the city of Syracuse churches and in the United Methodist Church when we let go and let God? Soon this one ribbon will not stand alone. It represents the first of many of our God-given gifts in the city of Syracuse and in the world overall. Just as we are connected to our neighbors, the land, the water, the air, plants, and animals, this church is connected to all our Christian brothers and sisters throughout the city and throughout the world. As we learn of other God-given gifts and God sightings, we will add a ribbon. When we are connected in community, we are stronger. Are we doing what Jesus has told us to do? By spreading peace and justice? And I'm going to leave you with this. Where have you seen God lately? Please pray with me. God, we this summer are going to notice you. We are going to make a practice of noticing how you are in our lives. We're going to notice and be grateful. And we are going to share our story of you. We're going to share a story of where we have seen Jesus today or yesterday. We're going to share the story of God's creation. We are going to share the story of the Holy Spirit moving in us. Please be with us this summer as we notice you and as we celebrate and struggle and live just everyday lives, doing our best to listen to you and serve you. Amen.